Good morning, sir. Now, what is your name, sir?
Milligan.
Milligan?
Milligan.
Okay, Milligan. Who is him?
That's him. That's his name. Yeah, it is.
It is.
Here we are.
You want this too?
Okay. All right. Good morning, Mr. Milligan. We're going to ask you to speak up just a little bit because we have a really hard time hearing. For some reason, that phone is not very good. So speak right into the phone and speak up a little bit if you don't mind. Okay, thank you. That's a little bit better. Could we please start by having you state your full name and your ADC number?
Charles D. Mott, Milligan, 141228.
Thank you, sir. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing concerning the one allegation that's on your warrant. And you were notified about this hearing on December 19th when you signed a form. Do you remember signing that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. On that form, there's a list of your hearing rights, and one of your rights is that you could hire, at your expense, an attorney to represent you, or you can represent yourself. So, which is it today, sir? Did you hire an attorney, or will you represent yourself?
No, ma'am. I'm representing myself.
Okay, and that's just fine. I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board. If you look on the video screen to your right, so my left, down that way, at the very end is the Honorable Louis Quinones. Next to him, the Honorable David Neal. Right next to me here in the middle is our board chairman, the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. Over on my other side here is the Honorable Michael Johnson. My name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll conduct your hearing today. We also have in the room with us the Honorable Mr. Turner, and you'll see him on the screen. There he is. He is with the Department of Corrections, who represent the department and your parole officer in the hearing today. Now, I also want to note that you have a supporter in the room today, and it is Miss Donnellan. Could you please? I'm sorry?
Hanwaitua.
Hanwaitua is a supporter for you in the room today. So, are you planning to speak today, ma'am?
Sure.
Okay. Then I would like to swear the three of you in. So, Mr. Morgan, Mr. Turner, and Ms. Hanwaitua, do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm? Mr. Morgan?
Yes.
And Mr. Turner?
I do.
And Ms. Hanwaitua?
I do.
Thank you. Mr. Milligan, your hearing will be conducted in two phases, with phase one to determine if you violated the terms and conditions of community supervision, and then phase two to determine if that supervision should be reinstated or revoked. So, Mr. Milligan, I'm going to read this allegation to you for phase one, and I'll need you to respond whether it's true or false. So we'll start phase one. And the allegation is that you were in violation of condition number 3, as demonstrated by your changing your place of residence from Old Pueblo Community Services, 3314 East Flower Street in Tucson, on or about December 7th, 2017, without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Your whereabouts were unknown, thus you were an absconder from supervision. Mr. Morgan, is this true or false?
Well, it's kind of, it's not really true. I actually had 2 weeks to find another halfway house or another place of residence. And I gave all the proper information to the other halfway house, which was in Phoenix.
You gave the information to?
The halfway house and my parole officer.
Okay. Did your parole officer approve the other location?
No, not at that time. She told me it would take 20 days or something like that for me to get a change of PO.
Okay.
But
so
we did contact her.
So did you leave the Old Pueblo Community Services on December 7th?
Yes, I was on a weekend pass when I found this.
Okay. So you did change your place of residence without the prior approval of your assigned parole officer?
Okay, yes.
Okay, all right, then I'm going to mark that one as true, sir. Because your parole officer did not, had not approved that, and that's part of your community supervision. Then, based on Mr. Milligan's admission, I'm going to move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of supervision and may have lapsed or have lapsed in the criminal ways of company.
Second.
Agreed.
Okay, motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Neal. Agreed. Dr. White, Mr. Johnson, Mr. Quinones. Okay, Mr. Milligan, we'll move to phase two of your hearing and determine if your supervision should be reinstated or revoked. But before we do, I'm going to ask Mr. Turner to give us some background information so we have a little more to go on. Just stay on the line. We'll be right with you in just a moment. Talk with you some more. Thank you, Mr. Turner.
Yes, ma'am. Milligan was released from ADC custody on 8/28/2017 and arrested on 12/5/2018 by Phoenix PD. No new charges are noted. He was returned back to ADC custody on 12/5/2018 with an adjusted CSED of 326/2019 with 363 abscond days. Current conviction, 2008, misconduct involving weapons, 2 years, 6 months. Prior convictions, 1997, theft, 1 year. 1998, commitment B, count one, burglary, second degree, 3 years, 6 months. 1998, commitment C, count one, theft, 1 year. 2003, aggravated assault, 3 years. 2008, aggravated assault, 6 years, 6 months. This is his fourth term in ADC with a CU IR score of 3.3. Mental health score of 3, substance abuse score of 2. STG information, he self-admitted to being a member of the Westside City Crips. Prior terms of supervision, 2002, TIS release, absconded for 30 days, arrested, revoked by DOEC. 2006, TIS release, arrested, found in violation, continued on supervision, absconded 3 days, arrested, reached CSED in custody. Disciplinary is significant and lengthy, with violence and weapons noted. Under arrest, 1993, assault, Arizona juvenile probation. 1993, assault, Arizona juvenile probation. 1993, theft means of transportation, Arizona juvenile probation. 1993, misconduct involving weapons, Arizona juvenile probation. 1993, assault, Arizona juvenile probation. 1994, theft, Arizona juvenile detention. 1995, theft means of transportation, Arizona juvenile detention. 1996, assault, Arizona juvenile detention. Is a GD score G7, V9.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. All right, back to you, Mr. Milligan. So you were originally released to the El Pueblo, and that would have been in August of 17. But as of the 7th of December of 17, you left there, and you didn't have your parole officer's advance approval. Where did you go when you left El Pueblo then?
I went to the halfway house called Transition County, which they did approve and accepted me in. Danny was the one that contacted her.
Transitions, was that a is that in Phoenix?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you remember the street, what street that's on?
Yes, ma'am. I got the address and the number. It's on 2429 West Business Avenue.
Okay,
Phoenix.
Yes. Okay, we know that one. Okay. So then how long did you stay there?
They were trying to meet me there for about 30 days.
Okay.
And I guess they were trying to talk to the PO to get some kind of authorization or paperwork or something.
Okay.
And I was supposed to leave until then, so the address that she had, which was the address that I've been using, the same one for my weekend passes, which is sitting on one of the paperwork here, in the 1825-1K3.
Okay. And who lives there?
His friends.
I'm sorry?
Friends.
Friends? Okay, so you went to Friends. Now, Mr. Milligan, you've had two prior terms of supervision in the past, and you absconded from both of those, sir. So you knew that you needed to stay in touch with your parole officer. Why did you not stay in touch with your parole officer?
I did make contact with her on numerous occasions. Me and my brother, Dory, we both made attempts to call her. She said I had not opened messages. She never returned some of the calls from me or anything. I tried to call her to the halfway house to get confirmation from her. They said they haven't even heard from her. They made numerous attempts as well.
Well, Mr. Milligan, it's the authority that you need to report to is your parole officer, not the halfway house. The parole officer is the one person that you're responsible to when you're on parole. The halfway house is, if the parole officer approves it, they're not the authority over you. You're responsible as the parolee to maintain contact with your parole officer. That's very basic thing. Let me ask Mr. Turner, what do we show in the chrono notes?
I show that he had a report date on 12/12/2017 that he failed to report to. On 12/28, there was information where she contacted the halfway house, and the halfway house explained to her that he had said he had documentation to go live somewhere else, that he had been approved somewhere else, which he hadn't in Phoenix. On 12/28, this officer spoke to offender via phone, directed the offender to come back to Tucson by 12/29/2017. This PO explained to the offender he is not in compliance due to moving to Phoenix without my authorization. This PO discussed with the offender that there is a procedure for the transfer to another city, directed the offender to report in the office by 12/29. On 1/10/2018, there is documentation saying the offender did not report on 12/29. Failed to report, the officer attempted to contact him on 1 with no answer. There is no contact after that.
Okay, sir, thank you. So Mr. Morgan,
I never received no calls or emails, no nothing from her, as she stated.
Okay, sir. Well, the record
is still the same.
The record reflects otherwise, Mr. Turner.
Yes, there's another entry on 1/10/2018. Ames emergency contact to the PO. His emergency contact, Martin Berry, stated he is a family friend, considered as a brother. Stated he will look for him in the Phoenix area. Contact stated he has not been able to communicate with the offender in a week and a half. So the PO did reach out and attempt to make contact.
Okay, thank you, sir. Okay, Mr. Milligan, what were you doing when the Phoenix PD picked you up?
So I was on my way to work.
You were on your way to work? Were you driving or walking or how?
No, I was leaving the apartment.
Okay, so you're leaving your apartment. Was there some particular reason that they called their attention to you that day?
No, ma'am. I never went back into, I never relapsed into no criminal activity. All I do is work. And that's basically it, work and program. I go to terrible, still taking my meds.
Okay. Where were you working? Where were you working?
I worked for two places. I was working for Starz's and Fence in Tucson, and then when I switched over, I went to a temp service, and I ended up getting a job at Fabry Depot, and I switched from Fabry Depot, and I went working with a temp service, which I was temp to hire. I was doing a lot of construction work, frame work, drywall work, and I did a lot of events for the sports events.
Okay.
Right, okay.
All right. Okay, sir, I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions. Anyone have a question for Mr. Milligan? Okay, Mr. Milligan. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Quinones.
Just for follow-up, Mr. Milligan?
Yes, sir.
It looks like that your last charge was for misconduct with a weapon. What happened in that case?
They said it was a misconduct. It was actually a verbal confrontation, but since I had prior domestic violence on my case, they aggravated it.
Was there a firearm involved?
No. Oh, in 2008?
Yes.
That's the charge you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yes, I was standing with a past friend slash, and there was a lot of complications going on with that individual or someone else. And they reported that I had a weapon, which there were no weapons involved, and they ended up giving me domestic violence.
Oh, okay. Thank you, sir. I just want to understand the case. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, so Mr. Rogan, if it's okay with you, I'm going to ask your supporter to come up and talk to us. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
All right. So, ma'am, if you'd come right up here and see the microphone there. If you'd start by just stating your name.
Donna Rogan, on my team.
Thank you. And then just what would you like to tell the board?
Just that he is the sole provider for my family, and we really need him home. Yeah, he wasn't out there doing no criminal activity, and that's about it.
Okay. All right. Any questions from board members? Thank you so much. Thank you for coming today. Okay, Mr. Mulligan, we're coming up toward the end of your hearing, and I want to give you the opportunity to make a final statement. Is there anything else you've thought of the board should consider?
I know I have. I made a lot of mistakes in the past, and I'm not going to sit here saying that I don't want to go, and just because I don't have too much or anything. I'm just, you know, I like working. I'm getting older now, and for once, you know, I want to be able to accomplish something. You know, every time that I seem to get to the end of my parole or my probation, if something happens to where I'm in or back in the Department of Correction. Like, I'm not here to try to go back all the way into the past, because the past is the past, and I'm trying to move forward in my life. I want to get married. I want to be with my children. You know, she's getting older now, and I want to be that role model. I'm not going to sit here and say that the appeal is wrong. I did everything. When I was in Tucson, I stayed positive. You know, it was a bad choice that I made, but at the time, you know, I felt they told me I had 2 weeks. They didn't tell me if they go to Phoenix. They didn't tell me. They just told me to find a place, and that's what I did. I didn't just try to go anywhere. I tried to provide everything. And I never relapsed back into no criminal activity, no behavior. I do have mental health issues, but those are opinions, so I work real hard to try to overcome these heavy issues that I have, and I continue to go to my meetings and get my support from my therapist, staying on my meds. I would like to go home. You know, this place is, I'm starting to wake up and see that this is all programs, it's not going to help. It's either me going to do it or I'm going to be here for the rest of my life. And that's something that I don't want to be doing no more. It's my family. And like I said, I apologize for the things that I made the choices. I had to deal with the consequences behind it. I just wanted to live, you know, like I didn't, you know, I'm not from Tucson. I just want to be around my loved ones. It's pretty much, it seems like everything is always based on my past. And every time, it kind of hurts me because it's like, when I hear my PO tells me I'm doing so good at one point, and they tell me that everything that I've done positive in my life, or tried to do positive, didn't mean anything. And it's like, wow, well, I thought this was supposed to try to rehabilitate me, to try to help me. And I just hope that the board, you know, put that in consideration, that I do stay positive, and I'm not trying to point fingers at anybody. I made a decision, and I guess, and I have to deal with the consequences for all of my actions.
Okay, Mr. Morgan, thank you. The board is going to go into discussion, sir. We do our discussion in public under the Arizona Open Meeting Law. So just stay on the phone, just remain silent, and we'll be right back with you in just a moment. The board is now in discussion. Mr. Mulligan, well, I believe that he was out and he was doing well. He was working, it sounds like, and he seems like he's made up his mind he's not going to be involved with criminal activity anymore. Unfortunately, I cannot overlook an abscond period of 363 days with two prior absconds in his record, because he knew the consequences of the absconding. But on the bright side, he does have a release date of March 26th, which is only 2 months away. And I think the best thing for him would be to finish his time and with his eye on that date, and realizing that that date he will not have a parole officer, he can live anywhere he wants, won't have to report to anyone, that would be my thoughts, but I'd listen to any thoughts from fellow board members.
Any?
Okay. Based on then information in warrant 2018W0175, our conversation with Mr. Mulligan, input from Mr. Mulligan's supporter and Mr. Turner, I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Mulligan was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or companies, specifically by absconding for 363 days, during which time his parole officer could not monitor his activity. Motion by myself, seconded Mr. Johnson. Agreed, Dr. Wright, Mr. Neal, Mr. Quinones. Mr. Mulligan, the board has voted unanimously to revoke your community supervision, sir. I like the positive attitude that you have, that you've talked about. Now, what you've got to do now is you've got, however, add up the number of days that are left, sir, till March 26th, and put your eye on that date, and that'll be the date that you'll be out, and you'll have no parole officer to worry about, and you can start the rest of your life. And I hope you do it on the positive track that you've been on, sir. We thank you for participating in your hearing. Thank you to your supporter today. And your hearing is concluded, sir. If you'd give the phone back to the CO3, we'd appreciate it, sir. Thank you.